Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast. I want to tell you about my friends over at Gaslight. Check them out on the corner of Kings Highway and Shaw Boulevard in St. Louis, Missouri, right over there on the hill. Hey, if you haven't been by, it's a beautiful recording studio attached to a bar that you can hang out, have a cold drink, eat some tacos, and watch one of your favorite bands recording inside the studio. It's very unique and original and something really cool to be a part of St. Louis, so get out and get involved over there. If you're looking into recording, reach out. GaslightSTL.com has all your details there. You can book yourself a tour, come on over there. If you want to check it out as a fan, there's a lot of great opportunities coming up. There's March 18th, Scrub is filming a live Gaslight session over there, so you can come over and be a part of the taping for that on Saturday 18th, 8 to 11. Also, a friend of the show, Carter Holsey, is returning to St. Louis playing Gaslight on March 26th, Sunday. So check out those events on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, GaslightSTL.com. And yeah, get involved.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Matt Amelung, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Make sure nothing weird getting picked up here.
Should be a better environment than most typically.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
I have my air going right now, so that's a little.
Yeah, I shouldn't be fine. I should be fine.
Cool.
Shouldn't be a problem, I was going to say.
Cool,
man. Hey, everybody. Shane Presley, your Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Encapsulated Studios in beautiful Maplewood.
Maplewood,
yeah, with my friend Matt Amelung. Welcome
Hi.
To the show, man. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, this is number three, I believe, for you, right?
Yeah, in different capacities. Absolutely.
Yeah. We did one, me, you, and Benny, and Matt, Benny of Fivefold, and we did a whole Fivefold one inside
that one was fun.
The Black Pearl.
The Black Pearl.
Yeah.
As she was refueling.
Yeah, man, I'm pumped to be over here, kind of see where the magic happens, as they say.
Thanks, man. I'm glad to have you in my my abode.
Yeah. This, I was here a ton of great records coming out of this studio, and
Thanks, man. It's
just kind of fun to see where it all started, you know, so.
It all starts with an idea here.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So, We kind of talked a bit about it in your previous episodes, but you know, I kind of wanted to dive a little deeper into some of what you do here and
sure.
And things and you personally and stuff. But how long have you been here at Encapsulated?
I have been here, I think, for about four, maybe five. I think it's between 4 and 5 years.
Yeah.
Prior to that, I was working out of a basement. Professionally for like almost 3 years. I was actually working under a different name. We called that Second Story Studios back in the day, which is funny because it started out at a house I lived at that had a second, literal two-story house, and it was on the second story. And that, imagine getting drums up tiny little house stairs. That was ridiculous. But then I moved to a basement, and then it was the below second story. And then we moved here in a more semi professional capacity, I guess.
Yeah.
And we've been here since.
Yeah. Very cool. I know, like, I've had a bunch of these guys on the show, and they're all become real good friends of mine, but, I mean, you guys, you've been putting out some just, like I said, incredible records here. Personally, one of my, probably my favorite record of the year, I would say, was the Discrepancies record.
Oh yeah, dude, a lot of people like that one.
Yeah, and I don't know, I just I was blown away, man. It was just Overall, I mean, their writing and their, you know, playing and stuff with the production value here in Addison sang. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Dude, had no idea either. Yeah. Like, when we were talking, we had a couple meetings before we did the record just to kind of see if we were going to vibe together. And, because, you know, anytime you spend that amount of time together, you got to make sure you actually like each other. Otherwise, right. It's going to be a long haul. But, yeah, I remember them talking about, yeah, in a couple songs he's going to sing. And I was like, okay, I've heard the EP, and I don't really remember too much singing.
Yeah.
I mean, there was some, but not in at all that degree. And I was like, okay, like when we finally started recording, I was like, this dude can really sing. This is great. And I even told him when we were tracking that he is probably one of my top, at least top 10 singers to record, because he's just super good. Like once we like get a melody, he can just go right for it and he'll nail it. He doesn't need a whole lot of like pitch correction or, you know, anything that like we engineers typically use and abuse on a daily basis. But he's great, man. It was a surprise. But that record was so good.
Yeah. And just a lot of fun to watch them do it live too. Like they put so much energy into their show now. And well, you know, I'm a big fan, and that record, like I said, really turned out excellent. So
I appreciate that, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, their live thing too. Like they always like, you know, some bands like are a great recording band, and then like others seem to be, you know, just a live band. That's where they truly find their place. But I think Discrepancies definitely has a bit of both. Like they just it's different dynamics. Like they're a band in the studio that kills it, and then, you know, they do the same thing live.
Yeah.
They've been, I've noticed they've been pushing it a lot more lately. I saw a couple videos of that last one. They just did it Pops.
Oh, yeah.
They're starting to go crazy. They're up there with, have you seen City of Parks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Do you ever watch Blake?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, Blake, I know he's going to listen to this, so hi, Blake.
Hi, Blake.
My running joke is that, it's not necessarily a joke, my running thing is that one of these days, you know, Blake gets so excited right before he plays. One of these days, he's literally going to explode on stage. Yeah. Like he's just going to be like running around, freaking out, just poof, and there's Blake.
Right.
Like, I don't know why that tangent happened, but it's something I had to voice to your listeners.
Sure, just spontaneous combustion.
Yeah, man. So I'm seeing a lot of similarities between the two bands happening.
Yeah, for sure. Both just a ton of energy on the stage. So
absolutely.
It's infectious, man. You know, it makes you want to hop along with them and have a good time. So
it's important, man, especially like as entertainers too, because I mean that's a whole, you know, part of the band experience. You know, you write songs, but you also, I mean, you don't have to, but if you're gonna play that game, you also have to entertain people, and you got to give a reason for people to want to be at the shows and see you, you know, play your songs live. I guess.
Speaking of the City of Parks, guys, you also just beginning of 2017, right? That just came out a couple weeks ago. The Find Your Voice EP.
Yeah, it wasn't too long ago. Geez, I forget how quickly this year's going by. But yeah, but
they just put that out, and like again, what you said, Pops. They just had their record release party over there, and threw a nice party, and another just, you know, outstanding album EP, whatever you want to call it. But yeah,
that was a band I wanted to work with for a long time, but it never like happened. I really wanted to. I heard their first like EP record they kind of put out, I think they did it themselves or something. I know it was like really low budget, but as most, you know, bands first things are. But I heard the songs, I was like, you know, I haven't done a cool pop punk band in a while, and then it just kind of happened and we worked together and it was fantastic. I love working on that kind of stuff. That's like
from me, live with your
one of my favorite genres of music.
Yeah.
Kinda. There's like two schools of pop punk. There's like the kind that I grew up on, like, and there's like this newer school that's a little different. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
But you kind of come from that background as a player too.
Right? Oh yeah, dude. I'm definitely punk rock is what got me into music, and yeah. then it changed into weird artsy stuff, and
right.
now I'm back on like a punk rock kick.
Yeah,
I go back and forth.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, as a fan, my musical taste is all over the place too. I mean,
for like, sure.
I enjoy, you know, from singer-songwriter guitar stuff a lot to your craziest, you know, heavy metal or rap or whatever. You
Same.
Know,
so. I like all of it. Like, yeah. as long as it's good and it's honest, mm-hmm. I'm usually a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. I'm definitely more by artist than genre. Like, you know,
yeah,
there's a ton of junk in all of the genres, but there's,
oh, yeah.
there's particular artists I'll gravitate towards and, you know, I really connect with and things, so...
Same.
Yeah.
If you ever looked at my iTunes, you'd just be like, what?
All right. Yeah, sure.
If they would try and, like tailor, like, search history or whatever, like, to me, it would just be... It wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah.
There's, like, Black Dahlia Murder, and all of a sudden, and then there's that pop country artist, Cam. Like, I love her, too. Like, I'm really weird.
Yeah.
Have you heard that girl?
Woman? I know, like, what, Burning House?
Dude. The record that song is on is so cool.
Yeah. But, I don't know a ton about her. I just, I don't know. I haven't really listened to a ton of the modern country and stuff. But
very, very sparse for me also. Because
yeah.
it's definitely to the point now where it's very formulaic mm-hmm. and you know what to expect. And it's all about a guy losing his dog and his favorite pickup truck.
Right.
But,
well, not anymore. That's kind of, that was more the 90s country, I think. Now it's... beer, partying.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Party country.
Yeah, it's like all the bro country stuff. Yeah,
thanks, Florida Georgia Line.
Yeah. Which is sad, because I met those guys, like, long before they took off. I met them open up for a show at the pageant for Brantley Gilbert, which, I guess they already had a certain level, but nobody knew their name at the time.
Right.
And then they came back and they played Blueberry Hill for, like, 200 people. And
that's funny to think about.
Yeah. Well, and then so like the next show they had in St. Louis after that, the headlining was at Chaffetz Arena. So they went from Blueberry Hill to Chaffetz Arena.
Yeah, it's like a little different, I guess.
And you know, and of course Cruise hit the radio by then, so that's when things took off. But it's like, but their first EP like out a lot, like it was a lot more grittier, you know, country stuff, and like. And you could tell, like, they got hooked up and, you know, and they made everything that's on the radio and stuff.
Yeah.
So they...
That's like a different... That's there's two schools of thinking, or listening, I guess, as a producer. Is I listen to a lot of, like, stuff I don't necessarily like just for production value alone. Like, mm-hmm. I have to, like, kind of stay relevant as to, like, what people are doing in certain mm-hmm. genres. So I'll pay attention to just about everything, whether or not I like it or not. And a lot of times, you know, that stuff is so... catchy, like it's like almost like they sat in a lab and like figured out the most infectious melodies, you know, and that stuff will end up sticking with me even though I don't like any of it. It's a weird place to be sometimes, like professionally working on music. Another thing that's I think is funny that I have to explain to people all the time is that like when I'm driving like from here going home at night, I'm like in silence in my car. Most people will jam music and stuff. But because I work on music all the time, like, silence is my music.
Yeah.
It's so weird. It's so weird, too. Like, because now that I'm married, like, you know, my wife jams stuff all the time. And, like, I'll get in the car and I'm like, oh, you got to turn all that off.
Yeah.
You got to stop. Like, put on, like, talk radio or
sure.
something.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the fun of, you know, like podcasting and stuff. Just kind of having that alternative to it. Like having just a conversation and stuff. Because, because so when you're... around music all the time, sometimes you just want to step away from it, have a
you
break.
You have to, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I love podcasts.
Yeah.
Like, that's all I listen to. There's such, like, an amazing amount of knowledge out there now, like, in just about anything you could possibly mm-hmm. want to learn about, and everyone's, like, seems to be, like, very eager to share it, so it's really cool. That's, like, finally picking up, because I know a lot of people, like yourself, have been podcasting for as long as I can remember, but like, people are starting to actually... really take it in. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's cool about it is that It's very low budget, and anybody that's passionate about a certain subject, I mean, there's a fan base out there. Some other people are interested in the same stuff. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's fun, man. I know we talked last time too. Mentioned we're both big Howard Stern fans too.
Oh, so dude, it's gotten worse too.
Yeah,
because one of my good friends, Alex from Isabella, actually, I'm pretty sure you guys.
Yeah.
They
haven't been on that. I haven't been able to make that work yet. But
oh, dude, I'm gonna make that happen right now.
Well, we've talked several times. It's just it's difficult being far apart and stuff. But yeah, we're gonna make it happen. It's just difficult when they're here in town on show days. It's kind of hectic and stuff. So
yeah,
but we're gonna make it happen here soon.
Definitely. Well, that Alex got me a wedding gift last year of. A year subscription to Sirius Radio.
Yeah.
So now it's anytime I'm in the car, Howard's on, and I'm just listening to whatever the hell Howard has to go on a tirade about, and it's great.
And there's been some just incredible interviews on there. Just I like all those with all the old classic rockers. He had Neil Young in and David Crosby, and those are always really fascinating to hear the stories behind all the songs and all that stuff. So
I like anytime he goes with like the older SNL people.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
It's great, man.
Yeah, definitely. So when you're when you do get to listen to the like, and you're saying, do you hear? Certain stuff, like you're saying you're having the harmonies and different things, or the catchy things that they put in these songs. Like, do you have to do you hear some of that and like cringe sometimes for some of it? Like, you're wishing they would have done it something different, or
not always. God, that sounds so horrible. No, it's not always. If I typically I hear things that I'm like, oh, you should do that. So that's kind of like where the producing side of things comes.
Right.
I'm always going to throw my two cents in, and I figure at this point if bands are coming to work with me, I think that they already know kind of what's going to happen. If I think there's any part of their songs that is subpar or, could be a better, it's going to be better when they leave here. And if it's not, I failed. This is actually a really, relevant topic to me right now because there was a song, I did a single with this band, who will remain unnamed, last year. And one of my friends that I really look up to asked me, he heard the song, and he was like, what happened, man? And I was like, what do you mean what happened? He's like, it sounds like... He kind of almost said, it sounds like you didn't care. And I was like, what? And he's like, it sounds like you didn't like push them. And I started thinking, like, to the song he was talking about, and I was like, shit, maybe I didn't. And then I just recently recorded them again, this same band doing a new song, and this time I was very adamant about, like, having my process be... Because last time I kind of let them just do their thing, and they were cool with it. Like, it's always about making the bands happy. I'm 100% about that, but I also want to satisfy that... Let's push the boundaries on this. So this time we went for it, and it's so fucking awesome. The song is so cool, and I'm so stoked to finish it and get it out there so that people can hear this come out from this band and be like, oh, shit, okay.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, oh, shit, okay. I think that kind of answers what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it's... Sure. I'm always going to... If I hear something, I'm going to throw it at you. And if something's not cool...
Right.
From here on out, I'm not ever going to let a band do that. And if they come to me with stuff that they don't want to budge on, then it's probably not going to be a good fit.
Mm-hmm.
Typically.
Yeah. Hey, looking for some new music? Check out Music Record Shop right here in St. Louis. Located on Locust at the Dot Zach Building. You can come over there. They just had their... grand opening for the brand new location, and they want you to come check it out. So come by anytime, but every Friday they have new records in store, new vinyl. We got some tapes and CDs and all kinds of stuff. So if you'd like to get your records on the shelf at Music Record Shop, reach out and get involved. See how we can make that happen too. You can shop online 24/7 at musicrecordshop.com. Be sure to check out their Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. They're always giving away
free tickets, and all kinds of other things. So it pays to support. So check out musicrecordshop.com.
Yeah, I just was, you know, if you really get to truly enjoy it, that's kind of the thing. Like, are you constantly analyzing it though too, like as a fan? Like, if you're just listening to something on the radio and stuff, do you get critical of all
that? No, not as much. If I'm listening to something if it's actually on the radio,
yeah,
somebody did their job correctly,
right.
So I'm just mainly taking notes at that point,
yeah,
and thinking what I can take from that and apply to whatever I'm working on,
right.
No, it doesn't work if you're like listening to like pop country and you're working on a metal record or something. But you know what I mean.
Sure.
So.
You're doing a little. We got looking around the room with like we got like Pfister.
I didn't do Pfister.
Yeah, but I mean, they were here though.
Oh yeah, Pfister like, actually practices here.
Yeah, like just hearing some pretty heavy stuff. You know, and then,
dude,
like,
it's all over the place, yeah. Man. It's ridiculous.
Speaking of, you know, going from pop country to metal and stuff, but...
Yeah, if you'd actually get all of... Sometimes I like to think, like, if you look at all the plaques and shit, you imagine all of those bands actually being here, and if this room was filled with all of these different people, yeah, it would be such an eclectic group.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there would be, like, 15 fights immediately. There's no way, like, half of these groups of people would get along.
I always joke... I've done quite a few of these over at Limp Rehearsal Spaces over there.
Yeah, dude, I really like that place.
It's kind of a weird place, but
that's
it's
why.
Cool. Yeah,
like, I feel like I'm going to leave there with, like, an entity attached to me.
But it's, walking the halls there, it's like, I always, like, imagine it, like, being, Spotify or Pandora was
absolutely,
like a real place. Like,
absolutely.
You know, you just like open one door. No,
dude,
you know, it's like
that's how it is here when like you have more than one band rehearsing.
Yeah.
Because like I'll hear, we have sound like isolated pretty well, but like when certain bands like Pfister, Kenny from Pfister's bass player, he has like the last time I checked, he has 2 Ampeg 810 cabinets for his bass, so you can hear that, I'm pretty sure, in, like, California. Like, right. That thing is so, you just, from in this room, you just hear, but then, like, you'll also hear, like, some pop punk happening, yeah, like, you know, like, at the same time, which is the weirdest sound on the
sure
planet.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, it's very similar, though. It's the revolving door of, what do you want to hear?
Yeah. before we get going too far, I did want to take care of some business. Matt is also in Fivefold, and you guys have a big show coming up, next Saturday night, or
yes, sir.
I guess,
yeah,
this Saturday night, we'll probably, by the time you hear it, but,
yeah, March 25th at, the Del Mar Hall, which I actually haven't been to, and I feel bad about that, but everyone tells me it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a very cool room, man. I went to, grand opening night with, Stir, and which was a lot of fun.
Yeah,
and I've been a Stir fan for many years, so it was really exciting to see them kind of do these reunion shows and stuff. And because I never got to see them,
I didn't even know that that was a thing.
Yeah,
that's rad.
Yeah, they did that one, and then they did that one went so well. They did another one over at the Pageant, and so it was
that's
cool.
Awesome.
To, yeah, so I they also did that Wayback Point Fest over the summer too, so it was fun to see them.
That was a cool idea.
Yeah it was good. Yeah, I mean, and they, some of those bands, it was just funny, like, not to rip on anybody, I'm a fan of the music still, but like Eve 6 was there.
No,
and
yeah,
it's like, man, I haven't heard that name, Eve 6, in many years. I just kind of went through that scenario of like getting the phone call, like, "Hey, can you guys play Wayback Point Fest?" Yeah, the calendar's, you know, we're pretty free right
sure,
now.
Sure,
you know?
Sure, yeah, yeah. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. No,
they put out the last thing I heard. I'm not really familiar with them, but a band I was recording told me about. They were doing an acoustic record, and they told me that Eve 6 had this acoustic record they really liked, and I checked it out, and that was actually kind of cool to hear.
Sure.
It was cool to hear like their big songs.
Yeah,
kind
of. Well, that was one of the line that sticks with me is they were doing that Inside Out.
Yeah,
song, and
that's the heart and the blender.
The singer says, he goes, "Yeah, this song might sound like it was written by an 18-year-old kid, because it was." And,
sure,
you know, like it was just kind of crazy to think that those guys were, you know, young at the time, and like still doing that song, and it's like whatever, almost 20 years
that's
later.
That's so crazy to me. Like certain bands that have, I mean, that's awesome because they're having that much success that they're still, you know, playing like that long. But there's bands. Think of like bands like Guns N' Roses and like bands like that have been playing for decades, man. Right. Like that has gotta be just crazy.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But at that amount of money, I'd play anything for anybody.
Right. Yeah, I mean. Like Keith Richards, I mean, Mick Jagger.
Oh, Jagger.
How many times he's got to sing, you know, "Start Me Up."
Yeah,
you know, whatever. It's like,
isn't he like on? Is he still around? Is he on life support?
I mean, last I heard, he just had a baby.
Someone should check on him real quick.
Yeah, I'm sure Keith Richards is on the other hand. He's like that guy.
I think he died years
ago. I think he died years ago, and like just kind of string him up
dude. No joke there. Man, I'm pretty sure like he malfunctions at shows, wires pop out. Sparks and shit.
Yeah. The second show I went over there to was Here Come the Mummies.
So
it was fun to hear like the other end of it, like you know, Stir was definitely a good rock show, but hearing funky music with all the horns and a big full band sound like that, it was really fun to be in that room. And so it's cool, man. It's a really nice vibe over there. Like it's like kind of I know a lot of people, I never went, but a lot of people have kind of compared it to the Mississippi Nights room and stuff, but it's kind
of my favorite venue of all time.
Yeah, it was, but that was like, I guess Mississippi Nights was more wider and narrow, and this is more of a kind of a shotgun kind
that's,
of.
That's what I heard. And I heard they do like the ready room thing, the bars in like the other room or something.
Bars separate, which I love as a fan.
Oh, that's great, because then everyone's there that's in like the live room area is actually paying attention to the band.
Sure,
hopefully.
Yeah, but yeah, it's a really unique experience over there. I think it's really cool. So if you haven't got tickets, reach out. All the band members have them.
Dude, we have like less than 10 left, so hit me up before this podcast airs.
Yeah.
We stopped the dial, gentle walk to the beat. We heard ourselves and it's clear to see.
We're on ourselves and it's clear to
But or Ticketmaster and stuff. So and you're bringing along friends. We mentioned City of Parks.
And Welcome there. Home.
Yeah, and Welcome Home. Yeah,
there's dude. Welcome Home is a band I want to record. I'm gonna hustle them real hard.
Yeah.
The show.
But that's gonna be a heck of a rock show. And what we I think we're $15 tickets.
$15 tickets. Yeah. And it's gonna be a hell of a rock and roll night. Dude, it's gonna be really cool though. Actually, I don't want to spill the beans, but it's going to be pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, man. You guys, you know, again, I've been a fan of Fivefold for, I don't know, eight years.
Dude, this is the 10th year, they told me.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I know I've been following those guys since the early days, and it's just fun to watch everything, like, just the evolution of it, and as the show continues to grow bigger and stronger and stuff, and it's just... But yeah, it's just a ton of fun, man. And
very much so.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that, and hopefully, are we gearing up for any new tunes in 2017?
Dude, hopefully, man. Yeah. Matt just had his baby. I haven't even seen her yet. Yeah. I've been that busy.
Sure.
He had his baby two nights ago.
Doing adult stuff and things.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so difficult to do like band stuff, you know, and. Do a business and then do the wife, do literally like it's so there's just like where is the time, you know, it's right. Rough, man, like there's so much shit I want to do. We Matt and I did get together though and we started hashing out like some ideas of like where we might want to take like our sound from here, because yeah, you gotta keep pushing the envelope.
Yeah,
so we got some ideas. Hopefully we'll start gearing up for it real soon.
All
right. But right now it's just been making sure he gets through the delivery of the baby, which now 100% great and golden.
Yeah, congratulations,
Matt and Heather.
Mr. and Miss Minnie.
And baby Nora.
Yeah.
Who I haven't even met yet. God, I feel so guilty. It's horrible, man.
Yeah, well, one of my best friends just had a baby. I think she's 3 weeks old now, and I haven't been able to make it over there yet either.
Yeah,
but
you get it, man. It's just...
Yeah.
Hard to find the time. Sure.
Well, and I also kind of, I mean, as much as I would like to, I also kind of like to, I know everybody's kind of knocking on the door like, hey, sure. When can we see that baby and stuff? Yeah. So kind of, I like to let them get a breather, get adjusted to life now as parents and things. So.
Absolutely.
Time. Yeah. But yeah. So again, that's Saturday, the 25th, Del Mar Hall in the Del Mar Loop. Come on out there. So
they don't want us to mention the Del Mar Loop. I remember that.
Oh really?
Yeah, it's a little bit of insider info.
Okay, well it's not in the Del Mar Loop.
No, it's so silly.
Yeah,
because I guess they think there's, I don't even know, I could speculate for days.
Yeah,
but it is in the Del Mar Loop, right. So they're wrong.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's somewhere
in Missouri.
Yeah,
definitely in St. Louis. Very close, if not in the Del Mar Loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
gonna be good though. It's gonna be really good. We haven't played a show in forever.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Itching to get on stage, huh?
Yeah. I'm gonna be like a Blake, I'm just gonna explode.
Right, yeah. Yeah, man. We got a brand new record just came out the other day. And
Wildfire.
Yeah, we got Wildfire from the debut album from Ashland. And man, I listened to it the full thing yesterday at work, and really great stuff, man. I'm really really proud of you know what you guys did together. It sounds great, and
appreciate that, man. I love those guys. I love it. It's really just Aaron and Asia now.
Yeah.
I absolutely love them as people, and that always is a good situation for making a good record, like when you guys just truly get along and you see eye to eye and you and everything's just good. Vibes are good. That's such a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a bonus that they brought good songs to work on.
Yeah.
You know, I heard that they started sending me demos early last year, and I was like, oh, okay, so that's where we're taking it. And I was so stoked that they were going to go in a little bit more of a pop direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. It's just a good fit for them. And I'm excited that it's finally out, because they were actually, there was a couple bands last year, when I had my bout with cancer, that I had to get pushed back for a couple months, and they took the hardest hit. Like, their release schedule got delayed, like, at least 6 months, and it was like because of me, and I felt so bad. But they were such great, like, supportive people throughout all of it. It was just amazing.
Yeah.
And now that the album's finally out, I just feel so relieved, and that it's doing well, and that people are loving it, because I know that we followed our heart with all of it, and it's good to see it receive the way we wanted it to.
Yeah, man, it's nice. For sure. Yeah,
I think everybody should go pick it up on iTunes, Spotify, Bandcamp, and Amazon Music, I think, are all the 4 ones.
That that's got to feel good. I know Facebook kind of exploded yesterday.
Yes.
When it came out, and I was scrolling through my feed, and everybody just, hey, check out New Ashland, and like, so I mean, yeah, that's got to feel real good that that many people are responding to it like that.
Mm. It gets to the point where, like, people I have, like, that aren't in my friends list are, like, doing that, and, like,
yeah.
it's just, like, spreading. Yeah. I really hope that happens. I hope.
Like wildfire, you would say.
Yeah, like wildfire. I wonder if they did that on purpose. All right. I actually don't know.
Yeah. They're another one I got to get on the show. We've talked several times, but again, you're saying, things kind of got delayed and stuff. So there was times where we were talking, and then it was like they were waiting for heaven to have it. Yeah. So hopefully now that the record's out, we'll make it all happen.
Maybe I'll do something. Maybe I'll, like, trick them. I'll have them come here for, like, something, and also have Isabella come in for something, and it'll just be you here, and we'll just rapid fire.
But again, Ashland has a similar thing, but they also a few miles away, so we it's difficult to. And again, it's just life too. So it's tricky sometimes. But
I'll get on them.
I got, like, this checklist. I got bands I still got to get around to and stuff. But yeah, all of them I've reached out, and we all want to do it. It's just coordinating all of our schedules and make it happen.
Dude, I get it, man.
Yeah,
I'm one person, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah,
I can't even imagine trying to. I can totally imagine, like, getting my band together to do certain things.
Yeah.
It's already a handful.
Sure. Check out Wildfire on all your digital platforms.
It's in the cloud.
Yeah. I'm sure they'll have physical copies at shows and all that stuff coming up. So, And then another really great EP that came out, that was also 2016, was the New Lingo Best Friends EP.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That was another really great record. I was, super excited for those guys. They've become real good friends over the years now too. And
I really love that band. Funny thing about that record is it was done, a couple songs at a time over the course of, like, I think it was like 8 or 10 months prior to that. So I didn't know, like, how that was all going to be released. So they all kind of sound a little different.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Why don't you share?
Sure. But I, excuse me, I truly, truly enjoy those guys a whole lot. And they just, they did a single not too long ago, but Mr. Joe needs to come and track vocals for it. So maybe this will light the fire if he listens to hit me up. Hi, Joe. Come record the rest of that song so we can put it out.
Yeah. Well, they, what's cool too, that they've been doing a little touring and stuff. I've been on the road and things. So.
I wish every band in St. Louis would hit the road just for a little while.
Yeah.
And light the fire, and because it does so much. Like, social media is great in expanding your reach, but actual physical touring, mm-hmm. you can't replace that. And it does so good. It's such a great thing for a band. Just if nothing else, to at least build that bond between band members. You know, like, tour's horrible, but at least you get that out of it, maybe.
Yeah.
But I think every band should do it, man. It was always a good experience for me. Even if the tour didn't do well, it was always good.
Fivefold, you guys will kind of do more sporadic, kind of one-offs.
Yeah, and it's because everyone has, like, such, like, adult responsibilities and such that we'll just do, like, weekend warrior things, but...
Which is still cool. I mean, that's what, you know, obviously comes up a ton on this show, but how ideal St. Louis is to tour out of, being right here in the middle of the map. Dude, you know, you can...
That's the thing, like, we're what we are... geographically is so, we're, you know, we're a couple hours away from a bunch of major cities and different markets that would be great to expand into. Mm-hmm. So I challenge more St. Louis bands to take that initiative and just get out, because more people, St. Louis is a really weird spot in that will pay attention to bands if they leave.
That's definitely true. Yeah,
it's such a weird thing, but you know, just that's all you gotta do. You wanna be more successful. If success means more fans to you, like, you know, it's such a varying term depending on who you talk to, what success is. But if that's what you want to do, definitely tour.
Yeah.
Just tour because it's fucking awesome, man.
Sure.
And especially if you're young and you have your whole life in front of you to, you know, go rack up your credit cards now and do whatever you gotta do.
Like, yeah, I like the idea. Like, they just booked, they just announced it, I think, for April. They're doing a We Are United Chicago show with City of Parks, Disguise the Limit, and some dudes. So they're taking, like, a couple St. Louis guys and going up to Chicago and doing a show up there with them.
That is a great idea.
Yeah. And awesome. I thought that was, like, I mean, that'd be ideal, because we have so many, you know, again, you got a lot of these bands all play together here in St. Louis. It'd be fun to take that show on the road and having a discrepancies in New Lingo and City of Park show and take, you know, make a tour out of that or whatever, and just...
Dude, that's so awesome. So. Because we're getting to that point now where a lot of bands, there's a lot of cliques, and you're playing to the same fans a bunch, and that's cool and all, but if you want to expand that, you gotta break away a little bit. That's rad. That's a good way to do that.
Yeah. I don't know how all that came together, but I thought it was really cool, and I'm excited for City of Parks to get out there and go play in Chicago and stuff. And
yeah, very much.
So I think it's just outside of Chicago, but yeah, still, it's going to be.
If it's not in St. Louis, that's a start, man.
Yeah. So hopefully that'll open up the door to a lot more opportunities and for sure. So, let's see what else I wanted to. The Hush List. That was another really great record you guys worked on out of here. And
super talented guys.
Yeah. Which they just, if you're not familiar with the Hush List, check them out. But they just put out a record for the Birds, which...
That video, yeah.
Yeah, which I really liked a lot. That's a beautiful song. And
fantastic song. Plus, shout out to Juan Ibanez for shooting that video. He's been doing a lot of video work for a lot of different bands that I've happened to work with, and he's killing it on the video end, absolutely killing it.
Sure.
And he's super OCD, just like me about certain stuff. So
yeah, I his name's come up several times again too, and but yeah, I'm
very, he'd be a good guy to get on the podcast.
We've talked, he knows.
Shit, he's got stories. Yeah. He's actually got a ton of stories.
Yeah, hopefully it'll happen here. We've talked about making it happen soon. So, but yeah, I mean, like, it's just. It's a good 1-2 punch with you guys. Like, I feel like, you know, it's like you come in here and you get a great song, and then you go to Juan and you get a great video, and it's a nice package deal, man.
Dude, it's so great, because there's nothing worse than like spending so much time and money on, you know, recording a track and then seeing, oh, what did this band do for the video? And it's like, you know, one of their buddies shot it on a microwave or something.
Yeah. I mean, there's that is kind of the nice thing. There is options, though. I mean, like, obviously, you know, you get what you pay for, but and Juan is just like, again, the quality there is just, he's crushing it, but I mean, it is kind of nice. We do live in that era where, you know, you can almost pull it off with a cell phone, because sure, our phones are shooting 4K video and stuff and things. But yeah, again, if you leave it up to the professionals, you're going to get a much higher quality.
That is something I definitely want to expand upon. I think, actually not a ton, I just want to say that it is always going to be true that you get what you pay for. And that, I'm not saying that just so I'm like, oh yeah, pay me money to record your band, but it's more of a, I promise you, if you pay me money, that I will do my absolute best to make sure your song or whatever you do, you know, work with me on, does something great for you guys, you know, as a band. Like, and I don't necessarily know if you get that at places that, or with other people that, you know, are just trying to be, if, I don't know how I'm trying to phrase that, but it's true, if you get what you pay for.
Sure.
You know, in all facets of life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's definitely people in town that just press record and stuff, you know, and like, but I feel like talking to a lot of these bands, when they come to you, like, you know, you become that fifth, sixth, whatever band member of the band, you know.
I'm really thankful for that, man.
These guys put these songs in your hands and let you, you know, be in everything involved in the creativity process. And
absolutely, I'm so appreciative to bands because of that too. Because I understand, like, I've been in a band and I've been in bands forever. Like, I remember writing songs and, you know, that's your baby. You know, what do you mean this dude's gonna change all this shit? Like, I get that. But, you know, now that I'm older, I understand why all that was.
Yeah. Is there a... When, I mean, are you get in there and you, like, say, hey, let's try this. And then, like, they try it and it just kind of falls flat. And
dude,
like,
I have tons of shitty ideas. Absolutely. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely, man. I'm definitely not here saying, oh, everything I have is cool. Sure. No, I train wreck a lot of stuff. But I will always fix it.
That's the nice thing about being here in digital and stuff. We can
Otherwise, if I was on tape, I would have so much tape on the floor right now. It would be everywhere. But let me also say that if a band comes in here, it's all about what they want out of the out of the project. Like, if they want me to be a button presser, I'll absolutely just, you know, if they want me to lay down their song exactly how they came in here with it, then that is what we'll do. It's all about, like, what makes them happy. But if I get free reign, I'm gonna absolutely go fucking crazy on your stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's I think that's the way it should be. I mean,
yeah, like, I'm not like a John Feldman in that he I'm not gonna just be like, no, you have to do it this way or it's just gonna be shit.
Right.
For better or for worse. I'd like to have his success. That'd be cool. Driving around on a Tesla.
Yeah. Yeah, is there so that you have those guys you really admire?
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Feldman's definitely one of them.
Yeah,
yeah. Feldman, dude, there's a ton of talented people, man. Dan Cornish, David Bendeth. I could go on.
Sure.
Yeah, there's a shitload of great fucking engineers and producers and people of audio.
Recently, a guy that I like, everything he touches is great for me, is Dave Cobb, and for doing more country stuff, he did the Chris Stapleton record, and
there's a dude named Billy Decker, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he does a lot of Nashville stuff. It's really cool.
And Dave also did all the Jason Isbell records and and stuff, so I mean, for that kind of you know, singer-songwriter stuff, he's been just crushing it. But
That sounds actually really difficult to get right in terms of, like, a technical aspect.
Yeah.
Excuse me. I know you think it's just like a... You might think it's just like a throwing a mic up and, like, all right, acoustic singer-songwriter guy, just play your song. But, like, there's so much more involved.
Sure.
So well, I mean, really respect those guys.
Yeah. Well, like some of those songs are, you know, they're, I mean, Jason Isbell's Super 8 Motel, like, is, you know, that's a rock song, man. Yeah. There's like, you know, there's a lot going on, but yeah, there's some great records though. And but he also, what I thought was funny is, you know, Wheeler Walker Jr.
I'm familiar with the name. I don't.
He's super filthy, like, and it started as a he's a comedian, Ben, and he this character he did on his show, the Ben Show,
yeah,
and then turned into a legit thing. Like, he went and cut a record. He's got a new record coming out, but yes. It's like, he writes these super dirty, raunchy country songs, kind of David Allan Coe and that kind of vibe of stuff. But the production on it is outstanding. Dave Cobb did the record, and like, it's just funny to see his name on Wheeler Walker and Chris Stapleton or whatever. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But like I said, the sounds of the record is still true country. You know,
yeah.
But anyway, it's just funny that. Now he's just writing dirty lyrics all over it.
Well, speaking of silly stuff that still sounds awesome was always any, like, Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all his stuff always sounded really cool.
Sure.
Even though it was all just parodies, which are still great.
Yeah. I think what he's doing, like, a box set. Like,
yeah.
An accordion. Yes. Like,
that's so great. That was my shit growing up.
I think you can get all 20 records. On vinyl in an accordion box set.
Of course.
Yeah. But it's like $1,000 or something. Oh. So I mean, it's, again, you're getting 20 records of it, which would have been at least $20 a piece, you know, separate or whatever. I mean, all I'm exaggerating on $1,000, but it's pretty expensive. I think it was like $300, but
I mean, that's still cool though. Yeah. I mean, that's, I'd pay some ridiculous amount of money to have, you know, certain bits of history or certain limited releases from my favorite bands.
So, sure.
So, I get it.
Yeah, man. He, and that guy, too, as goofy as those songs are, a guy that really brings that stage show to life. Like, I've seen him live over, he did a street show out on, in front of the Blue Note for the summer.
Really?
They set up a stage right out there on the street.
And, man. I would have loved to see that.
Yeah, it was super cool. And I got to eat some Shakespeare's pizza. And then I got to hang out and watch Weird Al with a couple of my buddies. And it was an awesome day. But the guy, like, literally, there's an outfit change for every song. you know, he dresses in, you know, when he does the, you know, Smell or Sounds Like Nirvana, he puts on the sweater and the wig and all that.
Oh, that's so good.
And the Amish Paradise, he puts on, you know, so it's like, he makes those, like, videos come to life in a sense, and,
he's just a performer, man.
Yeah.
He's great.
Sure, but that's, like I'm saying, he could easily just go up there and sing these goofy songs, but it's the production he puts into it, like, makes it a show, and makes it, you know, that's why he's still doing these songs, you know, whatever, he's been at it for, whatever, 30
I mean, he was 30 going years when I was a like, kid, man, yeah, you know.
So, but yeah, that's cool. So, I don't know, man. So, what, we got, 2017 here. What, you got, some exciting things in the work coming out of the studio?
Oh, dude, there's always exciting things.
Yeah.
yeah, man, the most soon... exciting thing would be the release of the Poor record that I'm working on with a couple dudes from Cabo.
Friends of the show.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Dude Addison from Discrepancies and good old Jack Weesey, who we saw a little while ago.
Yeah.
And Jeff from Brookroll.
Jeff's got some pipes, man. I saw a little snippet you guys would it was like warm up thing.
Yeah. He was just warm ups.
Doing like great, what was it? Like Sam Cooke or something, right?
It's something.
Change is gonna come or something like that. Something along those lines. It was like an old soul song and just crushing it. And I'm like, man, like I got excited. I was like, that, like, well, you guys should cut that. Like,
put sure. It, yeah. He's one of those dudes that, like, you're like, okay, you're really great at what you do. Why weren't you in more bands? Because this is like his first. From what I understand, it's his first band that he's, like, been in for a while and, like, that's gonna, like, release stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just crazy to me.
Yeah, he mentioned a couple of names of previous projects he's been a part of.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like...
Oh, I thought he told me. Man, he's lying to me now.
I don't know. I think, well, I mean, as far as I think it was Crushed Blue Velvet or something. Something like that. He talked to me.
Sounds like a pimp name.
We talked about a little bit of stuff that he's done. But, yeah, I'm a...
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore, dude. Just go with it.
But I'm definitely excited for that, though. That's and those couple of releases, they've, you know, the singles that they have out now, the Animal and stuff, they sound really good. So I'm excited to hear the rest of that record. And
dude, it's going to be good. It's different than Animal. If everyone's expectations are based on that song, it's different than that.
Mm-hmm.
It's... But still good. It's mm-hmm. really good.
Sure. Yeah. Anything else you care to...
I have to tiptoe around certain things.
Yeah?
There's something I'm really, really gunning for right now, but...
Right.
I'm trying to think what else I've been working on. Oh, there's a new single from Inimical Drive. It's going to be out in a couple months that is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Way, way, way more awesome than anything we've ever worked on. It's really good.
Other buddies of the show, I saw.
Yeah, dude.
They,
good guys.
Yeah, really like hanging with those guys. They're pretty silly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a handful anytime I record them. I have to like set certain restrictions and
right.
just be an adult about things.
Yeah.
Let me think. I know I've been doing this. So weird, sure. Like, because I know I do stuff,
right?
Because I'm here every fucking day. But like, when it comes to like talking about what I do,
yeah.
it seems like I don't do anything.
Well, you people can get involved. They got Facebook, Encapsulated Studios, and Matt Amalong page as well. So you can
MattRecordsMusic.com. I got that.
Yeah,
I figured that was gonna be taken.
All right.
Yeah, I got that.
And was also MattAmalong.com.
Matthew Amalong.
Matthew Amalong.
Yeah.
I did put your picture up online and asked if people had some questions for you, if you care to answer a couple of these.
Sure, here we go.
let me get this pulled up here. Which these are always funny for me because some of them are really goofy and then some get serious. And
I'm
stuff.
Surprised that you had even a single serious one.
But young fan Dustin Hook writes in: where do babies come from?
I don't know.
I have
no idea. Still waiting to find that one out.
we'll talk to Matt Benny about that one.
Yeah, I was gonna ask him. Yeah. He knows. He said he knows.
Yeah. Whack G's we were talking about. He writes in, when can he come to Brazil?
As soon as possible. Brazil, come to it.
Yeah.
As soon as he pays for me to go to Brazil.
Yeah.
That's how soon.
Here is one of the seriouser ones. You mentioned some of your cancer stuff, but mm-hmm. Lance wanted to write in and your overall health, check in on that, see how...
Oh, well, Lance, I appreciate the concern, but I am 100% great, dude. I whipped cancer's stupid fucking ass. Bam. Though I'm still dealing with other things that have come to light since then, because, like, all the different medications, they ended up, like, screwing up my adrenal system, but, you know, small beans compared to that shit, so... I'm still here.
Definitely. That's I know a lot of people were, you know, were definitely concerned, but
the outpouring of support was absolutely crazy. Yeah. And it's so appreciated to feel that.
Yeah. Well, we're glad that to hear that you're cancer free, man. That's cool.
I appreciate it.
Ashley Amalong writes in, did he take the trash out this morning?
Sure. That would be my wife and she can take it out herself also. Fun fact is I don't think she's ever taken it out since we've lived in our house.
Yep.
So, sure, it'll get taken out.
Yeah. Good right there.
She's going to shoot me. We should edit that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just protect all parties. let's see. Elliot Pearson. I just saw that the other day that Search Party's recorded.
Oh, yeah, dude. Young. We did some songs.
Yeah, I like
dude.
It.
Dude. Sorry, not to interrupt you. Right. Speaking of that guy, are you familiar at all with his work?
Yeah, I love Ellie. He's a good friend now.
Oh, he's so good. Before Search Parties, he was in a band called The Great Outdoors.
Okay.
You familiar at all?
No, I don't know that one.
I think you'd really like it. It's, I really don't know how to describe it, but it's really kind of chill, indie rock, kind of almost like, I don't want to label it. It's just really, really cool stuff. But it's one of, if not the first, it's like the second band that I've recorded, and it's still some of my favorite stuff because the vibe is just there.
Yeah,
really cool songs. But that guy's awesome. What did Elliot?
Elliot said, "What happened to my chickens?"
Okay, I'm gonna try and sum this up very quickly, and I think I don't even remember it correctly. But when they were recording the Search Party stuff, he showed me. Oh, I don't even know, but I think it's some kind of rap song. And I want to say it's all in Spanish, maybe. I'm guessing here, but I remember it being something about. Oh yeah, it was about like the chupacabra,
yeah.
The blood-sucking goat or whatever that people say exists. And it was a song about that, and it was like that was one of the lyrics. It was like, "What happened to my chickens?" Dude, it's so goofy. Yeah. I'll have to see if I can find it, and maybe we can like put a link with the release of this.
We'll do.
That would be. Oh yeah, Elliot, please send me that again. Whatever the hell that was, I totally remember it though.
Frank Allen, Frank Pettis, Frank Allen on Facebook. He asked if you know him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'm horrible with names, as everyone should know in St. Louis.
I commented back to him. I said, no one would admit to that, so.
Oh, then no, I don't know. Never heard of this man.
Frank Pettis of Sick Love and with Gabe's Troupe. And,
I mean, I know Gabe.
Yeah.
I probably know him.
And Frank also did a bunch of stuff with the Copperview record.
Oh, okay.
So, he's been.
I'm sure I do.
Yeah,
like I said,
he's a hell of a guitar player. So I think that's about it. Most of these are pretty silly.
Yeah, don't doubt it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'm surprised if you get any actual real questions out of that.
We'll close it on this one. Jeremy writes in a Westcott reunion.
Oh man. Dude, we did like three of them.
Yeah.
If he wasn't at any of the three reunion shows we did over the course of like 3 years, probably not.
Right. Is that there is something about like some of those older songs. I mean, there's a lot of like bands get together like their 10th or 20th anniversary or whatever. You know, these are kind of more events out of it and stuff.
Sure.
But
I think that band was active. The last year we were active was like 2006, so we already missed our 10 year.
Yeah.
But I think. Oh, wait. No, I'm trying to remember when the last one we did was. I think it was before 2016. I think it was in. Either way.
Yeah.
I know we did, like, one that was, like, around there.
But that's, I mean, again, that's gotta be cool, like, to do those, and then, like, those people still know all the words to those songs and all that kind of, you know, it's just, like, the people still.
It was interesting.
Yeah.
It's so weird looking back on stuff like that people still really like, is because. When a lot of those songs were written, I feel like we were just truly just kids who were like trying to play as fast and like show off as much as possible. So we weren't thinking about songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always funny to me when people like that like years later. But there's still some songs, at least in Westcott, that I still really thought were cool and fun to do. But you know, with age, hindsight is 2020.
Yeah,
we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, again. Matthew Amelong here at Encapsulated Studios. Reach out. And if you're not familiar with any of his work, do some homework because there's really tons of great records coming out of this studio and St. Louis in general. There's a lot of great music in this town. So,
oh, yeah. Dude, even if I didn't work on it, there's so many awesome bands coming out. Like Gaslight's putting out some really cool stuff.
Yeah.
There's, I mean, all over town. Everybody's killing it.
We mentioned Jason McIntyre.
My old band recorded with him years ago. It's kind of lit the fire a little bit. Yeah. Jason's so good at what he does.
But yeah, another one of my favorites. I really enjoy these kind of studio talks, kind of hearing more about what you guys do behind the board kind of stuff. And sure. It's just kind of fun to, you know, we talk music all the time with the people making it, but it's nice to hear your guys' perspective on some of the stuff. And
yeah.
But again, don't forget Fivefold, Saturday night, 25th, Del Mar Hall. Going to be a big one.
Yes, watch us explode Blake Boyster on stage.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you taking some time to hang, man.
Dude, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.